You are now listening to my favorite show, The Frocast, hosted by my guy Saul Wright, Keep Listening Heavy Bruh, and King Germ, the most electrifying motherfucker in podcasting history. Keep up the excellent work, fellas. Take it away.
NappyAfro.com.
You are now tuned into the dopest podcast for the dopest network on the internet. This is The Frocast. I am Saul Ray, the Black Alex P. Keaton, and this is episode 199 of the dopest podcast on the network, man. Sitting in with my homie, King Germ. Say what's up to the people, bro.
Hey, what's going on, people? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. the people's champ, a.k.a. the most electrified motherfucker in the world, a.k.a. the Black Wayne Gretzky, a.k.a. I've had one more a.k.a., but I forgot it. Oh, well, that's it.
Damn. Hey, man. You know, I'm back. I had to dust off the microphone, man.
Pause.
Yeah, I guess that's a pause. You know what I'm saying? We don't say pause in 2016.
Yeah. Listen, we don't do a lot of things anymore. These people going crazy these days, man.
It's like bath salts all over yes. Again. A lot of shit that happened. You know, appreciate Jerry for holding it down last week. I was out doing a bunch of nothing. You know what I'm saying? But it was my birthday. Brother just wanted to be off.
Yeah, man. Hey, look. No. I appreciate you posting this shit because I know I put you through a lot of hassle, man. I'm keeping 100 with you, man, because that's what we do over here. I'm keeping 10 times 10. So I called Be Easy. I was like, yo, can you post it? He was like, you know about my thing. I said, I'm going to call us all right, man. And I hate to do it, but I said, it's the third. It's not even his birthday no more. So I was like, thank you, man.
I mean, I can't even get a week off this bitch, man.
I'm like, you going to make me? He's like, you killing me.
Who's the killer? So Jeff didn't know how to post shit. You know what I'm saying? We've talked about this before. So he was like, if I send you a recording of the forecast, can you post it? I'm thinking that the motherfucker got it done. All I got to do is post it. I'm like, sure. And he sent me the first email. That shit said part 5. I said, wait, what the fuck are you talking about part 5? I said, where's the other 4 and where's the summary? He's like, oh yeah, I got to send it through. I said, so I got to piece this bitch together and then put it up. He's like, how long that's going to take? I'm like, that don't fucking matter. The point is, I thought this shit was just a post-it. Like, so now I got to set aside time to do this shit properly. I'm like, this motherfucker, man.
I didn't expect you to throw no music in the background or none of that. I was just like, hey, I thought it was just going to be, you know, because I was just like, man. Because, okay, what it is with the voice memo, you can record it, but it won't let me send a big file. So if I break it up into, like, little segments and send it to you, I can do it all like that. But one time I recorded a Frocast, man, by myself. And I recorded for like 15, 17 minutes, but the file was too big, I couldn't send it. You know what I'm saying? And it was just bullshit. I was like, damn, man, nobody can ever get to hear this shit, bro. And it was, I liked it, you know what I'm saying?
So where is it?
I think I still got it on my phone or I deleted it, man, because it was just like, I was like, I couldn't send it because it was like, file too large. And I was just like, man, that's crazy. Let me see if it's still on here.
See, for those, you just have to upload them to like your Gmail, your Google Drive. And then you can send out a link, and then we can download it from there.
Oh, okay, no, I'm gonna delete it.
It's just how we do things right here. Because I've listened to other podcasts, and it sounds like they pulled out one of the Fisher Price recorders and press record, and they record that shit, and then they upload it. We're like, what the fuck? The quality's bad. The sound like our biggest problem is Skype. Mm-hmm. Our show be straight. We get the volume right and everything, but Skype fucks us up all the time.
See, you talking bad about Skype. Shh, chill, man. They're going to fuck us up on this damn call. But now, what it is, when we get that sponsor, we're going to get these microphones. We're going to get this better equipment. So, you know, like I said, Nappy Afro is for sale. We got rates going right now. You know what I'm saying? You get advertising, you know, certain price for, you know, hit us up. You want to advertise on the Frocast, you know, you can sponsor a Frocast. And, you know, we got a little set price for that. We're going to have a little section on the site, you know, like a little ad, like a, you know, billboard sign. And that's going to be the sign that's for rent. You know what I'm saying? You know, weekly rates, monthly rates. You know what I'm saying? Nappy Afro, man, we about to, you know what I'm saying? We about to really go corporate on y'all, man. We're going to pimp ourselves out, man, to pimp a website, man.
It's about time for us to put out another 5-star review. So if you got an album coming out. So,
you know, yes. We don't care who you are, man. MC Shit Sane and you an up-and-coming rapper. You need some promotion. Hey, look, pay us. You know, the more you pay us, the more the better the review gonna be. And you know,
might get 6 stars. You write a big enough check.
Yes, we can be easy to make a new graphic for 6.
6 stars, 7 stars, not 5, not 6, not 7, not 8. Mm-mm. Give you all the stars, bro. I'm sitting up here texting Be Easy now as we're recording. We got into it about Be Easy is hilarious to me because, like I said, he's still one of the smartest motherfuckers I know. But we're talking about wrestling, and this nigga has a point, and he don't agree with me, and he is not like I've never seen this nigga type this fast. Like you see that meme of I think it's Kermit on the piano, he going crazy. I feel like that's how Be Easy's looking at his phone right now, typing back like, nah, fuck that. What do you mean? You mean this, this, and this? Let me know. He going in right now. I'm like, fuck it. I'm recording. I'm with the nigga Jern. We can't respond right now. We got to do this shit.
Hey, patch your man, man. Tell him to get on Skype, man. Patch your man. Y'all hash this out up on the Frocast.
Hell no.
Yes, that shit'll be funny, man.
He in the middle of driving?
Hey, it'll help y'all ratings over there in the
Frocast. Oh, our ratings don't have any problem. It's another podcast. Hey, man, look, man, I ain't shit no people, man. It's my first day back. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it, man. We got a lot of shit to talk about. A lot of shit all over the place. The first thing I want to talk about, I know it's not in this order on the list. I got to talk about Cat Williams.
Okay.
Y'all got to quit defending this motherfucker, man.
What you mean?
Cat Williams, every time he has one of these episodes, it's usually cop related. Like, he'll blame it on the authorities. They trying to take me down. They see a brother doing this. No, Cat Williams, I think he's bipolar. Well, he's got some issues because it's always the same shit. He does something, he gets arrested, and next thing you know, he got beef with somebody. So,
hey,
this shit, Cat got arrested again.
Of course.
He comes out, and as he's, like, was he leaving the precinct? I don't know. But the motherfucker's on the airstrip with a fur coat and a Lamborghini calling out Kevin Hart. He says, we'll put up $5 million. We'll do 5 events. $1 million on the line per event or some shit like that. Yes. He said, I will battle you in rapping, boxing, basketball. Motherfucker was like, ski ball, golf. I don't care. Whatever it is, you pick the events. Yeah, you pick the event. $5 million is going home. I'm bringing mine in cash. You bring yours however you want to. And just so we can make sure it's clean, don't bring no white people with you. I don't know what that even meant.
None of your handlers. Yep.
Like, I've never even seen Kevin Hart with white people. But anyway, that's what he said, and he rides off in his Lamborghini.
Man, you know, real comics be us. You know, they got a problem with Kevin Hart.
Is it real comics or all comics?
Like, you know, it's like a little regime, like the Mike Epps and where they like, you know, they kind of against Kevin because A, he has writers, and you know what I'm saying, you know. B, you know, it's just like he's not, you know, he's the hot guy right now.
That's what the exact issue is that he's the hot guy. It has nothing to do with the writers because everybody has writers.
Yeah, well, you know.
Everybody has writers.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, Kevin is known for having his writers sit in at comedy clubs, steal jokes from small comedians, and then he peddles the jokes. And then, you know what I'm saying? He don't know where the writers got it from. He's just telling the jokes that the writers give him. But some comedians have a problem with that. They say maybe he don't normally know this is what's going on, but this is what's going on.
That's what they're alleging. That's what the people who've had shots and haven't done shit with it are alleging. There's no way that you see these niggas in the club.
He's the Mike Epps saying this. Like, Mike Epps is, you know.
Of course Mike Epps is going to say this shit because what has he done with his stardom?
Mike Epps is a man. What you mean? Mike Epps
many times has he sold out Madison Square Garden?
Hey, Mike Epps is an actor. He's the best acting comedian out. Come on now.
How many times has he sold out Madison Square Garden?
No, how many? I don't know.
He hasn't.
Okay.
He hasn't. And not only that, I don't think Mike Epps is a comedian. I think Mike Epps is a class clown with a mic.
Oh, man.
Now, it's good. It's funny.
He's funnier than Kevin Hart.
I don't think he's funnier than Kevin Hart.
Come on, man. Cat Williams is even funnier than Kevin Hart.
I think old Cat Williams used to be funny.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Old Cat Williams used to be funny, but for him to come out, like, none of this is, they're not saying, yo, you're not funny. What they're saying is, hey, you're getting too much shine. That's what they're saying.
You're getting too much props. Kevin Hart does not have a classic movie yet. A classic character. Not yet. Nope.
So
Day Day? Come on, all you say is Day Day. Everybody know Day Day. That lets you know right there.
How many lines do you think were actually written for Day Day?
Hey, I don't know.
None. I promise you that the script for Day Day was about one page long. Everything else was improv. So
that lets you know his greatness right there.
No. It doesn't take a lot of effort to be the regular nigga. Everybody knows the class clown. The class clown is funny. That doesn't mean it took effort. That doesn't make you great. You're just a funny nigga. Jerm, you're hilarious on this goddamn show. But if we gave you a mic in 5 minutes on stage, how do you think you'd do?
I mean, I do it horrible. But if you let me come up with a routine, I probably could do all right.
So there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? There's just a difference. There's a difference in that shit. So, but anyway, Cat Williams goes into Kevin Hart. And then this came out like on a Monday. He turns around on Wednesday and apologizes to Kevin Hart. He turned around and said, you know, I should have never spoke his name. Yada, yada, yada. I apologize. I was acting out. Yada, yada, yada. But then turned around and said he's going to call out Chris Rock. So now you're going after Chris Rock for your shit. So then after this shit happened, Cat Williams is doing a concert. I guess it's with Beanie Siegel. Some kind of joint venture. And you can see that Cat's not right. Like, anybody who sweats that hard, it's a problem. Alright, it's a problem. But he's on stage and he's doing the double dutch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's getting ready to jump in. He's doing double dutch while this dude rapping. And they show multiple takes of this.
At Beanie Siegel's birthday concert in Philly.
Okay, so that's what it was. So he was just there. He wasn't even performing.
One of Kevin Hart's people was on stage at the time. You know what I'm saying?
With old boy.
Maybe that's the dude that he was trying to attack, and he just attacked the wrong nigga. And
I don't know, but he sure went for it. He went through that forearm.
Kevin Hart, they said Cat Williams the whole night, he was wild and said, when Lil Mo was up there performing, he was up there doing push-ups. You know what I'm saying? They said, he was on stage. They said nobody knows why he was even on stage. They were just like, every time he was just on stage the whole night. And then when he rushed that dude and did the little, I don't know what that was, a forearm he threw at the dude. He got, you know, they stomped him out. They lightly stomped him out. They ain't stomp him out, you know, like they could have. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
He took that L. He went ahead and tried to get that forearm, and he got his ass beat down. So, even more, this it still gets bizarre, right? So, even more from that. After the fucking fight, after the video services, he gets beat down. Apparently, somebody said that Kevin Hart got his ass whooped and he got robbed. So, Kevin Hart decides to do another video. Starts out the video and this motherfucker's wearing like a ski mask. And he's talking. Then he takes off the ski mask and he starts smoking. He's like, there's rumors going around that allegedly Kevin Hart got his ass whooped and robbed. I want you to know that you can't believe the things that you see. So, I'm going to ask you to verify that I started off this video with a mask. And I'm going to ask you to verify that you see me smoke. Like, this nigga is the greatest build-up man of all time. He said, but if you did beat me and rob me, then why do I still have on this watch? I'm going to tell you that you missed a $75,000 Rolex. And why do I still have on these two chains? Like, who gives a fuck? And then at the end of all of that, he says, nah, you did beat me down. They're like, oh, well then shut the fuck up. No one cares about you getting robbed if you got your ass whooped. No one gives a shit. So what is going on with your boy Kevin Hart? It's basically what the whole point of this segment is. What the fuck is going on?
Hey, man. What do you mean? You mean Cat Williams?
Cat Williams, not Kevin Hart. My bad. What's going on with Cat Williams? What the fuck is the problem?
Hey, they say he's on that, they say he's on that,
Hello? Try it one more time. You put me on hold.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, they said he's on that dog food, man.
What is that dog food?
That boy, you know what that is? That brown, you know.
He on that dirt
heroin, yeah.
Damn, man, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Hey, man, look, I don't really understand the motivation behind him doing all this shit, but it just needs to stop, man. Like, he's always wanted to be the rapper in comedy. Like, he even had a record deal, or he still has a record deal, right?
Yeah, who?
Cat Williams. He had a record deal. He had some kind of contract with Death Row. And he put out a little mixtape or some shit. He put out an album. So, like, that's his thing, is the hip-hop beef of comedy. I don't get it. I don't get it. But, you know, that whole thing is just overplayed. So you think Cat Williams is funnier than Kevin Hart? You think Mike Epps is funnier than Kevin Hart? You don't think Kevin Hart's funny, basically.
Yeah, right? I think Kevin Hart is funny. Don't get me wrong. I like Kevin Hart.
But you don't think he's a GOAT kind of comic?
He doing it. I mean, when he be comparing himself, like, yeah, he do numbers like Eddie Murphy, but you're not funny like Eddie Murphy. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think it definitely took. Now, Kevin Hart, he benefits from his hustle. I don't think he's benefiting from some other bullshit. Like, he's putting out the material. He's on social media like that. So he's reaping the rewards of that shit. But being funny back in the day was a totally different thing than it is now. So I give you that. But I don't understand the beef. Like, you motherfuckers has got beef. Like T.K. Kirkland. T.K. Kirkland was talking about his ass. He was like, yo, Kevin Hart's not funny.
And he ain't gonna say nothing to T.K. Kirkland. T.K. Kirkland known to knock niggas out on the comic circuit for some strange reason.
We're knock him out and rob. You know what I'm saying? Yes. T.K. Kirkland then allegedly stole from everybody.
Yeah, he's a goonie and a comedian.
But now it's
complex out here.
What?
Oh. I do a very good GQ Blue impersonation. You want to hear it again? Go ahead. Listen.
It's a lot of tough-ass comics out here, man.
What's up, GQ? Why is GQ on the car? What the fuck is going on?
Man, it happens, man. Magic, man. Voila, man.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy GQ Blue, a.k.a. the most nefarious Democrat of all time. Just about the Oval Office, and saw that the call was going on. I thought you all would have had this call wrapped up already, or would have did the show later. So I had to jump in and get on the hottest show on Nappy Afro and the entire internet and just say, what's up?
Well, that's what's up. GQ's in the building.
Yeah.
Nigga, what are you doing? What are you supposed to be doing?
Man, tax dollars going to waste right now, man. Chill, brother. Damn.
Yeah, I just got out the Oval Office, man.
God damn.
Well, actually, the dental office. I just had a root canal, so. Yeah.
This nigga getting his mouth operated on and doing the show. That's what's up.
Through the wire, man. Like Kanye.
What do you think about... Did you hear the beef? We're talking about Cat Williams versus Kevin Hart. And Cat Williams basically wilding the fuck out.
I think Cat Williams borrowed that... That Rolls Royce that he rode off and off that jet landing, though.
This shit is just weird, man. Like, first of all, where does he get all this money from?
I don't know. I heard he bought Lil Moa Escalade, pimped out and everything. And you know what I'm saying? Let's be real. Everybody knows something wrong with Cat Williams, man. You can't. Like, everybody know he's suffering from something. You're taking advantage of him. Like, if he gave Beanie Sigel a Lamborghini. You know, they said he lost it in a dice game, but I'm pretty sure, you know, they, whatever. So he lost a 200,000 Lamborghini. Then now they said, you know, I don't know what's going on with the guy, man. But yeah, he need to slow down, or he be dead.
This shit's out of hand, man. This shit's way out of hand. I don't get it. I don't know what kind of deals they're cutting for comedians. Maybe y'all need to get a comedian deal instead of a rap deal. Because they apparently got the money.
I mean, maybe he want to be the next legend. He want to be die a legend. You know how people, you know, they live, you know, comedians live fast and they die like Belushi and all them other guys that, you know, they just live a hard life. And Sam Kinison and next thing you know, maybe that's what he on the track for. I don't know, man. But somebody need to stop him. Man.
Didn't you have Cat Williams in like your top five?
I didn't have him in my top five. No, I did not.
Who do you have in your top five again?
I got Martin, Eddie, who else I got?
You said Rock too, right? Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
I feel like you said Cat Williams, bro.
Did I say Cat Williams? No, I didn't say Cat Williams. Who else I got left?
I mean, Pryor, but I don't think we counted Pryor because, you know,
I didn't have time. I didn't have my top five.
You put Chappelle up there?
Yeah.
I think you put Chappelle up there.
I probably did have Dave, yeah.
I think Cat was your five.
Nah, because that fifth one was kind of, it was iffy, man. It was weird, man. I don't know, man. Don't quote me on that, man.
Or maybe it was Patrice and Chappelle.
It was Patrice and Chappelle. I had Patrice, and then I might have Earthquake. Who knows? It was like, I don't know. It was weird, man. That fifth spot was kind of, I don't know. But yeah. I ain't had Cat.
Cat's an eyeball, man.
I had Bernie up there, man. Yeah, Uncle Bernie. But then that's when you said Bernie was like big. He only had two albums, man. He never had, you know, that's when you went on your little tirade. Talking about he ain't had nothing but the HBO specials. And I was like, teach. Yeah.
Now, I definitely think that Bernie is one of the posthumous blow-ups. You know what I mean? Because... We saw him on Def Jam, and then we didn't see him again until King's Comedy.
And then he had a TV show on the Bernie Mac Show, which is one of the best black shows out. You know what I'm saying? They came out, so, you know.
Hey, I give you that. Bernie Mac Show is great.
Bernie Mac Show is great, and the wife is fine as a motherfucker.
Woo! Kalita Smith? Look, this has nothing to do with nothing. Did she have implants put in? Because when she was on the Jamie Foxx show, her breasts weren't that big.
Maybe he got grown woman age caught up with him, man.
Maybe she got her grown woman body later on. This story you put on here, which is pretty interesting, and when I saw the picture, I was like, I already know how this is going. The title of the article says he found $15,200 on the street, and then. So first of all, before we even get to the story, if you walk down the street, Jerm, and you find $15,200 in brand new money, do you keep it?
Yes.
So
without a question, let me tell you a little funny story. Like last month sometime. Oh, I told you about this, all right? Yeah.
No. Tell the people, man. Okay. Now I remember the story. Never mind. Now I remember the story. Never mind. Can't do that.
So GQ Blue, you being a man of valor, a man of integrity, a man of do the right thing, Mr. Spike Lee. What would you do in this situation?
Turn it in.
You'll turn it in.
He's running for office. He's got to say that. This is the only correct answer he could give us. But go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Say nothing else. I'll turn it in.
Like me on them hot take.
I mean, the lies is tapped. That's what he has to say.
I found $1,000 in the street. I don't know where it came from, but I found $1,000. But I'm going on lunch right now. I'll be right back.
Man, look, with my luck, I would probably just act like I didn't see that shit.
You will walk by, it's all right.
Look, the time that I touch it, SWAT will come out from the sides. Helicopters will come out.
There's nothing wrong. There's no crime of finding money.
Man, what? So, with my luck.
So, wait a minute.
Go ahead.
So, all right. It was 5 pairs of the 72 tens.
With my luck, I'm walking past them bitches. They probably still got a dye pack in them from the store. It's a sting operation. I can't fucking trust it, man. You talking about somebody who got named in the theft ring when somebody else got caught, and I didn't have shit to do with it. Like, I wasn't even working for the company then.
Damn.
I wasn't even here yet.
That's what happens when you're like the only 3 of black people at the whole company, man. You get named for all kind of shit, man.
I can't deal with that shit, man. But this story is not a hypothetical. So apparently, you know, first of all, is he black or white?
Let's see. Is it a picture of the guy? No, they ain't gonna show the guy.
That's not the guy right there in the tie?
Oh, yeah. Bob Tracy. He's 61 years old, man.
61 years. Now, that changes things. If I'm 61.
I'm still keeping it.
If I'm 61, I'm definitely keeping it.
I find $5 on the ground, man. Listen, man. Unless the only way I don't keep the money is if I know you. Or somebody else see you drop the money or whatever. Other than that, I'm keeping it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so I'm with Sarright. He dropped some money. Like, it's all right, drop some money. If I ain't know you, Sarright, and I see you drop some money, I speak to you and let you walk by and be like, yo, I pick your little $20 up and keep it moving, man. Like, one day I was in a gas station, man. Some drunk man was in front of me in line. This man dropped $100 on the ground. I picked that $100 up so fast, and then, like, about 5 minutes later, he was like, dang, man, I can't find my money, man. You know, and the woman was like, get your drunk ass out of here. You just drunk, you ain't have no damn money. I was in my head like, damn, I feel bad as fuck.
See, that's dirty. So now you done got him embarrassed and put out.
Hey, man. Hey, he dropped $100. That's $100 on the ground, man. Come on, sorry.
You saw it come out of his pocket, though?
Saw that shit on the ground. It was folded up. Man, listen, bro. I was just like, man, hey.
You know, you see them videos that they put on Facebook and YouTube and shit where they play these pranks. And I saw one where a guy acted like, you know, he picked up a 20. It was his 20, but he acted like he dropped it and picked it up. And the dude got into a fight with him. Told him, that's my 20. That's my 20. That's not even yours, bro. Even come out your pocket.
Man, tell him about it, GQ Blue. You be out on the streets. Me see how the normal people, not even normal, but, you know, it's like, it's real life. It's all right, man. $20 will change niggas' days, bro.
Very true.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing. I just know that my luck is bad enough that I don't need to be caught with the bullshit.
Hey, can I ask you a question, GQ Blue Man? This has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but it kind of does. Technically, the Black Panthers, wasn't that like socialism? What the Black Panthers was doing in the black community, wasn't that socialism?
You technically say it was.
Okay, with the government program, with the free food, all the stuff, the little programs, that was like socialism, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. All right.
I
make a pause on. I'm like, Black Panthers, what they were doing is socialism. But meanwhile, y'all, you know,
wait a minute. I don't know that that's actually socialism.
And socialism's all right.
Socialism is spreading the wealth.
That's what they was doing with the Black Panthers.
They weren't really spreading the wealth. They were giving back. That's more like a charity than socialism.
Everybody was allowed free a meal every day. Everybody was allowed training or whatever they was doing. So that was socialism.
But they weren't taking from anybody to give to anybody else. It wasn't an evening of the playing field. It was a charity given.
So if you want to get super technical, it would be better to say that you had those dudes. They were reading Karl Marx and Marxist leftism and shit like that. So they were influenced by some communist / socialist type shit. And it kind of the best idea of those two ideologies. And it kind of mirrored what they were trying to do. A lot of them cats would call themselves Marxists.
Right, they were providing opportunities, but it wasn't from a position of power or a position from taking from other groups. It was just giving. So it wasn't like they was going into Black folks' houses and taking money from them and providing. They were just giving up their time and providing shit.
I mean, but that's cooperative economics. You pulling together your resources and offering it to a group. I think you still could call that economics.
Are you pulling from your resources or are you just making some shit happen?
If I make shit happen, isn't that my resources? Like, if we all make some shit happen, we pull together our resources. If we all took $20 and then bought some food and gave it back out, we pulled our resources together, right? And made it happen.
But but that doesn't sound like a socialist idea to me. That sounds like it sounds like you're just providing.
Like, but the ones that can are the ones that's providing to give to the ones that can't. You know what I'm saying? You gotta understand. So it's just the same, just on a smaller scale. You know what I'm saying? So in the bigger scale, the top people in the country that make a lot of money, they giving up some of their money to help out the bottom. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. You see what I'm saying? It's just on a small scale.
We always talk about this is a capitalist society. I mean, I don't think there's a truly 100% capitalist society in the world. I mean, the current government is set up as a socialist capitalistic society. It's a mixture. So just on that scale, so I don't think you can ever really truly find a truly 100% economic model anywhere, because everybody tries to cherry pick the best of that shit or what works best for that ruling class. So
right. So if we're talking about socialism, we're talking about there has to be a situation of power, right? So there has to be some give and take. So if we're not, if I'm giving my shoe collection, willingly giving away my shoe collection, there's no socialism involved in that because I'm giving this shit away. No one is making me do anything. Like, I feel like that's the difference with socialism, is that you have to take from somewhere by law, by force. You have to take from one end to give to the other, like osmosis. There has to be a flow.
I don't think that's have to be the issue of force, though. I think you just see that because you're talking about an entity as large as a government. When you're talking about, usually you're talking about or a company who is instituting these kind of policies. So I don't necessarily think there has to be force for it to be considered an economic principle. But how come I get the serious shit? I came in here for the funny. This is why niggas don't like when I'm on the show, because they like, damn, nigga, GQ Blue on the show. She's boring as hell now. We ain't listening. Stop the show.
I mean, look, we don't know how to take. We ain't trying to get you fired from your job, bro. Fucking around with us, man. Goddamn.
Right, you hanging around with us. We on welfare. Yeah. We ain't been drug tested. Like, you about to fuck your shit up right now.
Exactly, man. Miscreants like us, man. You can't be dealing. You need to ask what the outline was. You know what we talking about, man. You know, the next topic, we'll talk about Kim K releasing her naked selfie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we should talk about that right now.
Yeah, since you want to bring it up. You know what I'm saying? You want to ratchet it up, GQ, while you at work and shit. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
I mean, Kim K decided to, you know, Instagram, as they say, she broke the internet again. She took another selfie. This one, it's got the bars. Was there an uncensored picture? Is that the one?
Yes, it is an uncensored picture. Would you like to see it?
I would, of course not. Yes. So she sent the picture and she says, when you like, you can't find anything to wear. And she just stand in the mirror and she took the picture. And of course, the internet goes nuts.
Did you read the comment that she said?
No, I didn't. I missed the comment. What'd she say?
It was like, She's like, I am empowered by my body. I am empowered by my sexuality. I am empowered by feeling comfortable in my skin. I am empowered by showing the world my flaws and not being afraid of what anyone is going to say about me. And I hope that through this platform I have been given, I can encourage the same empowerment for girls and women all over the world.
Problem.
Humanitarian.
Problem. Wow. It's easy to stand for nudity when you're already rich and famous. Yeah. And you don't have anything. Like, what are going to be the consequences? You don't have a job. So, yeah. What are the ramifications of you being naked on the internet? What's the downfall?
I mean, my thing is, you a mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck, man? You just had a baby. You know? And so, what she did is, she went and slipped in and got some enhancements after she had the baby to make it look like it was baby weight. No, man. We know it wasn't no motherfucking baby weight, man. Stop.
Wait, what you mean? Like, she got some fake weight put on?
Yeah, she went and got some titties, and you know what I'm saying? Look, went got more ass put in and everything, and trying to, but under the guise, it was baby weight. Like, you know, stop it, man. Stop it. Look at the picture, man.
So I'm looking at the picture. She doesn't look normal.
I told you, like, this shit looks weird.
Like, you know, the whole thigh gap thing that everybody's got going on in the fitness world, whatever. Yeah, that's whatever. Thigh gap, whatever.
Man, I want to see them things together.
But why is her, like, why does her waistline... I don't understand this picture. I don't get it. And she said she wants to empower women and girls?
Yes, all over the world.
I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with you putting a naked picture on the internet and say you want to empower girls. Because girls are doing this shit anyway. Huh?
Why not?
I think girls... when I hear girls, it's an age thing.
Oh.
So I automatically, when I hear girl, when you separate girls and women, I automatically think underage. And you're doing it naked. So it's not like if she did it clothed and she said, I want to empower girls and women. You did it naked and you said girls, and that just is weird to me. That's why I have a problem with it. Because we already seen videos of girls twerking on the internet and doing shit on the internet and getting their ass whooped by their fathers. So this is a little weird. But you obviously have a different opinion.
No, so I was just thinking about, you know, we talk about women's bodies and stuff and agency and all that other stuff. I mean, isn't it good or better if we can start normalizing a naked body? Like, wouldn't it take away from a lot of the stigma and the shaming of, oh my God, it's a naked body, if we was like, hey, it's just a naked body. Now, oh my God. Also, can Kim K break the internet? She sends out like a new, like every other like month now. Is she really still breaking the internet?
Well, first of all, she's definitely not still breaking the internet. The idea of empowering the body by like not sweating the shit, it'd be different if it was done different. Like, that to me doesn't look like anything about empowerment. That's like, look at my new titties, like Germ said.
I mean, with the same thing, like, you like, look at my new shoes. Like, look at these new 12s.
I'm not trying to empower shit. I'm saying, look at my shoes. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, just like, this is my body. Like, look at it. Check it out. I'm just showing it off.
But is child pornography a thing?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this is, you know, like 15-year-olds should be out here just putting up naked selfies and shit. But I'm just saying, if I'm not saying that Kim Kardashian is the world's greatest role model, but if, you know, if women start saying, hey, I'm gonna be more comfortable with my body and I'm not going to sweat it and I'm gonna be more comfortable expressing that, hey, this is my body, it's cool, you know, it's okay for me to flaunt it, it's okay for me to be proud of it, it's mine, I'm owning that. I mean, that sounds kind of cool to me.
I'm not necessarily against the sentiment. I'm definitely against the spokesperson and the way that they did it. Like, the body that you're promoting that you're not ashamed of is a body that you use to get to where you are. Is that a good thing? For all intents and purposes, you fucked your way to the top, right? You made your name notable by sleeping with celebrities and having sex tapes put out there and being on the arm of guys because of your looks. Is that a good thing?
I feel like 21st century people are starting to say, yeah, it's a good thing. Because I feel like our fellow bohos out there would say that we're starting to get into respectability politics. So I think it's a weird, different kind of era right now. To whereas, you know, 5 years ago, no, but now I don't know. Like that shit gets weird and murky.
So if Kim Kardashian decided to fuck three more top level people, let's say she fucked people in the Senate, and then she starts running for office, is that okay?
Donald Trump doing that shit.
And it's not okay, right? We agree that that's fucked up.
I mean, we agree, but it's a whole lot of people that see him instantly qualified.
Right, but it's still a problem. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like what she's doing may be coming from one place, but the way you're doing it is coming from a different place.
It'd be one thing if Kim K fucked three politicians and ran for office and said, you know what, I'm going to have a department of cultural clothing. That would be fucked up. But if she fucked three dudes and then was like, you know what, I think I haven't figured out a way to get single payer healthcare option, would we care?
Right, and so that's kind of my point, is that has she done anything to make? Like, she's saying that you should be proud of your body, and I'm not ashamed of it, but you used your body to get to where you are to fuck other. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's on the fucking part. Like, she's made a brand, she's made a name for herself, and I think now a lot of people are saying, you know, what's wrong with sexuality, or what's wrong with sex, or why is it the dynamic of she is wrong when she's fucking, but the men she's fucking, it ain't wrong. That she's the only one getting caught out for it. That makes sense.
If I don't know that anybody is fucking Kim Kardashian and becoming successful, to whereas I feel like Kim Kardashian fucked these dudes and became successful. Now, whatever the reason that is, I'm not really, you know, we can call it what you want, but I think that that's there. That dynamic is there. We wouldn't know who she was if she didn't fuck Ray J and Kanye, and you know what I'm saying?
But I don't think argument, she's bigger than every dude she's messed with outside of Kanye.
And then that's just capitalism. That's your business. That's how you handle your business. But you hustled your pussy to the top. That doesn't change that. So you got movie roles. You have your whatever businesses you have because people saw you from the people you fuck with, and you hustled up your money. It's like politicians. I forget the politician's name. The motherfucker that looks like a turtle is constantly telling people that we can't legalize marijuana, but he got caught with cocaine on his boat. So how are you making the laws for people when you out here breaking the laws? How is she able to hustle up and say, okay, girls, don't be ashamed of your body, when you use your body to get to position? So if we're using you as the model, is that what we're saying that girls should be doing? I don't know.
And that's when you get into the fact, is it disrespectful to utilize your vagina as part of your hustle? Because there's a lot of people right now telling you shouldn't be shaming sex workers, because everybody likes sex and they just get paid off of it.
Then you just got to be upfront about what's going on. So if you get to the point to where you're able to make moves and put this shit out there, and you use your pussy to get to the top, don't be mad when people say you use your pussy to get to the top. Don't be offended, because that's what you did. That's what the fuck you did. And it's cool. Yeah. Nobody's sweating the body. Like, the body shit, I see curvy shit everywhere, and girls doing what they got to do, and I love the female body. Props to you. But don't sit up here and put up a picture and talk about empowerment when I can look up your porn video in 4 seconds. Like, what's the difference between Kim Kardashian and Pinky right now? What if Pinky put out the same picture? Would it be the same?
But the feminists are saying if they want to do that, they can do that, though.
That's fine, but don't be upset when we call you out for it.
But the argument is you don't have anything to call out on because sex shouldn't be shameful.
Yeah. Did y'all already talk about Aisha Curry getting bought into the deal and everything?
No.
They've been dragging her for that.
I mean, it's like they was comparing Aisha Curry and Kim Kardashian on Twitter the other day. They were just like,
okay, wait, I don't know who Aisha Curry is.
Steph Curry's wife.
Okay, what does she do?
She's just Steph Curry's wife.
So why are they comparing the two?
She's in the anti-thought movement.
She came out like 4 months ago and was on Twitter talking about she saw something in the magazines like, you know, that's cool for this. I don't know. I think it was Beyonce or somebody. She was like, you know, it's cool for her to wear that, but I would like to be a little more covered up. just me and my man, and then everybody got mad at her for talking about being covered up and saying she was trying to shame whoever it was. And
yeah.
But she been getting called out for like the last 6 months now for that.
So they're saying that she's in some way encouraging anti-feminism because she said she'd be covered up.
Yeah. She's saying she's called. Yeah, like she's like anti-thot and she's team covered up because it was like
politics basically.
Yeah.
But if she's saying that this is me personally, if she's not saying that this is what everybody should do, how is it the same? How can you be mad at her for
exactly.
that?
Exactly. She made a comment about somebody, you know what I'm saying, then they were just like, that's how she got into it. And, you know, it's like an attack on her because it's like all the hoes hate Aisha Curry. I'm going to go out there and say that. The hoes hate her. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the hoes love Kim Kardashian. The hoes love Amber Rose. The hoes love all the hoes because that kind of, you know what I'm saying, it kind of validates what they do. You know what I'm saying? Because they like, yo, these bitches made it by being a fucking slut in a slut bag. So I'm going to do the same thing and hopefully I catch on. But, you know, what the problem is everybody don't catch on. And now you got a whole bunch of fucking slut bags out there. You know what I'm saying? A whole bunch of, you know, it just, and that shit is sad. Because, you know, I got a fucking daughter. You know what I'm saying? I don't want, you know what I'm saying? My daughter ain't looking up knee hoes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, so when I think of respectability politics, I think about that meme that was going around that was talking about black men. You know, there's a whole movement. There's a school and all kinds of shit where guys are dressing in suits every day to do regular mm-hmm. shit. So they're putting on suits and going to the fucking gas station because they don't want to be identified or be, you know, named in some other shit by cops or profiled by cops. And so to me, that's respectability politics. You're changing the way you normally do shit and you're suggesting that others do it that same way. So if we were to go out, let's say that y'all came in town and said, yo, we finna go grab a bite to eat. I would bet $100 that GQ was going to have some kind of khaki pants and a shirt with a collar on it. And I would bet that same amount of money that I'm going to have on t-shirt and jeans. But I don't think that either one of us would suggest that the other changes because that would be respectability politics. That's just our personal preference.
Go ahead. GQ's gonna say, first of all, I would never wear a collar shirt and khakis. Go ahead, son.
Right. I'll say how much money you betting because I only actually own one pair of khaki pants.
So not khakis, but slacks.
But two, I think respectability politics goes a little bit further than that. I think respectability politics is saying that there's only a certain type of way of being that deserves a right to be protected or defended, right? So if something goes down, so if I see Saul Wright get shot by the police and I find out that Saul Wright smoked weed, which Saul Wright doesn't, and I try to say, well, we don't need to care about Saul Wright because he smoked weed, and clearly that puts Saul Wright in a dangerous situation where he was probably out looking like a suspect. And so it shouldn't matter that he got shot because it was his fault anyway. That's respectability politics. By trying to say that if you were to change his behavior or mold it into some certain way, you would be okay. You would not be in the situation that you were in. So in regards to the women folk, saying that you can't be respected or you don't deserve to be defended because you decide to have sex with, you know, how many other dudes, or you decide to show your titties, or you decide to make twerk videos, will be considered respectability politics. Because it's saying that these women, because of the way they act or behave, don't deserve our respect, our acknowledgement, our protection. And if they get raped, they get raped. If they get beat on, they get beat on. If they get caught out and shamed in public, they sluts. So it don't matter.
Right, but you're pushing that as a thought process. That's not what Aisha Curry did, right? She just
I
said,
don't think so. I think yeah. It was overreacting.
She's just like, for me, I just prefer to be covered up. You know, let's get the quote to be exact since we sitting here arguing about it.
We arguing. And it's interesting that you brought that up because I just saw a video where Megan Good was sitting there with her husband and somebody in the audience, you know, it was a prayer thing. And she's like, you know, we all going to be prayed up. Amen. And she's like, you're going to dress better, right? You're going to be covered up. And her husband defended her, who was a pastor. He's like, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to have this conversation. So respectability politics for the church people, they were trying to push that on Megan Good because she is the first lady of whatever church he's part of. So what is the quote say from Aisha?
She said, everyone runs into barely wearing clothes these days, huh? Not my style, she tweeted. I like to keep the good stuff covered up for the one who matters. She was like, just looking at the latest fashion trends, I'll take classy over trendy any day of the week. Hashtag Saturday Night Insight.
Okay, so
hey, she was talking
about one of the Kardashians or something. I think it was what was she talking about?
What were you gonna say, GQ?
No, I'm just saying that was real masterful the way she said that, because if she would have said trashy, she said trendy.
Though. Yeah. But there is the stink of judgment on that, right?
Really, I mean she's saying
well, if you're drawing a line between classy and whatever the fuck trendy is, well, that means whatever is going on now is not classy. And the statement of I'd rather save the goodies for someone that matters implies that you're giving your shit away to people that don't matter, so you're definitely making a statement with your shit. I still don't know that that's respectability though. Like, you just judging motherfuckers. She's not pushing an agenda. She's just like, yeah, fuck that movement.
She just saying, you know, like, hey. And we need more women like that, man. Because there's a lot of, you know, it's bad shit going on out here, man.
But then that goes back to GQ's initial point. When we start talking about respectability politics, we start talking about women's rights and feminism. We don't have the same conversation or anything close to this conversation about dudes. Ever. Yeah, ever. Dudes are smashing. Hey, they talk about drugging women and smashing 3-4 women the same day, and we never have a conversation about how they're leading the dudes awry. It never happens.
But that, in reality, that doesn't happen. Those niggas is like them niggas that the regular niggas ain't out there doing all like that. It's only a select. It's a percentage of niggas that's out there smashing like that. Man. Come on.
So we have to suspend disbelief when we talk about the dudes, but not when the women. Like, who was a comedian that said? I can't remember who the comedian was. He's like, how many people you sleep with? Two. Oh my God. Two. I guess it's how you was raised. Like, for women, it's automatically horrible. But dudes is out here. Look, I know a dude. I told this before. When I lived in Atlanta, two of my best friends, easily over one summer, smashed 1,000 women. And I wish I was making that shit up. Between the two of them, it was easily 1,000 women, bro.
It's all right. That's impossible.
It's not impossible, bro.
It is impossible.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Right.
In Atlanta?
500 women. It's all right. That's impossible.
Two dudes. 500 women is easy.
That's all right. That's impossible.
Okay.
Let's just do the math real quick. I'm going to break it out. Pause. We got 1,000. We got 500 divided by 90.
Give it half a year. Give it 6 months. Give it 6 months. This is in Atlanta, so summer is forever. But give it 6 months. This is during the Freaknik era. Give it 6 months.
Yeah, that's still three chicks a day, bro. Like,
and
no.
It happened, dude. We talk about people smashing in between classes.
It's all right, man.
I talk about a lot of quickies. We're not talking about no, you know, knock it out the park. You just, you know.
We talking about just smashing. We talk about random sessions in cars. We talking about.
All right. Hey, look, man. You got to be. I'm gonna be honest with you, sorry, right, man. For you to fuck that much, you gotta be that nigga, bro. No homo. Like, cause it's hard for a nigga to fuck something like that all the time. I ain't saying he ain't do it, but I mean, you know, you blowing, you know.
It's two dudes, and one of them right now hosts comedy shit. He worked. He worked in Express before they were allowing dudes to work in Express.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible then, man. Goddamn, that's Will Chamberlain numbers, man.
That shit was crazy. It was crazy. But no one ever was like, yo, you disgusted. He was like, you that dude.
Hello, y'all niggas was like, yo, this nigga disgusted. Would you let him date your sister?
Of course not.
That's why, exactly, because he's disgusted.
But you know, I wouldn't let him date my sister. That's what I would tell my sister. That's not what I would tell my dudes.
Would you let him date your cousin?
That's what I'm telling my cousin, no. But that's not what I'm telling the dudes. That's what I'm saying. I'm not having this conversation with you openly and being like, yeah, fuck that nigga and putting his name out there. But when it's a chick who did the same shit, like, yo, niggas will stop the lunchroom to say that, yo, by the way, shorty gets down. You know what I'm saying? It'll be a public statement.
Maybe girls do the same thing about other girls and they sit around each other. And maybe it's just the same thing. We don't get that kind of locker room talk from girls. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we don't get the girl locker room talk. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, maybe they sit around just like us. That's why the scales is even. You know what I'm saying? But as a man, you know, I guess we conquerors by nature. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
With in any circles of guys, other than being alone with your people, would he not be allowed to make moves laterally or upperly because of he fucking a lot of people? So he can't be alone with your wife or your cousin or your sister, somebody close to you. But that's not going to stop him going in the club and smashing some random chick. But if it's a chick that gets down, you might not even know the nigga. Some dude going to come and be like, yo, by the way, shorty is down. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
But that girl might get that same thing in the bathroom. Like, girl, that nigga you was dancing with now. You know, he be all, he it might, like I said, it might be the same. That's all I'm saying. But, you know.
This shit is weird, man. How did
you know? Maybe, you know, like I'm just saying. It's just, I don't know. It's weird.
Do you think that women are having a conversation? Because at this point, BeEzy's
got to hell yeah, there. Women are like men now. They tell you
think women are having this conversation about BeEzy? Like, BeEzy walk up to a chick and be like, yo, girl, don't fuck with him.
At work, I bet you it's a girl at work right now and be like, yo, the word is out. At least at his old job, I know it was. Because, you know what I'm saying? The nigga, he was fucking somebody in they had a title. Now it's like, BeEzy, he fucked that up. Like, BeEzy, man, that nigga's the craziest nigga alive. Nigga got spurt drama. Like, how you fucking a chick with a title at work and gonna think you gonna fuck another associate and she ain't gonna know about it? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
God damn. Yeah. We all over the place. We all over. Yeah. This is what happens when you add GQ.
Yeah, man.
There's another post on here that you posted about.
Yeah, nah, we gotta talk about it because GQ on here, man. The Denny shit.
The what?
The Denny's.
Oh, the tip.
Yes.
I don't. Do we really want to drag him into that?
Yes.
That's fucked up. So, why are you gonna do this to him?
Hey, he here. That's what happens.
So
what is the story?
So basically, somebody didn't have enough money for the tip.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to give him a tip by taking the tip.
Wait, what?
Think about that for a minute. Think about what I said. He didn't have the money for the tip.
Look, I'm gonna go ahead and cut it. No. See, it's all right. He fucking now listen. So this was a Denny's. The girl was in Denny's. She ain't had enough money for a tip, and so she gave the waiter a fucking. She sucked his dick in the middle of the restaurant as a tip.
See, she gave the tip by taking the tip. That's what I said.
But you were sidestepping like a dancer right there.
Sorry. I was trying to, you know, I mean, he's political. I'm trying to keep it clean for him. They gonna replay this shit when he run for office. And you just fucked it up.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm gonna send a subpoena to get all my.
You gotta send it to the email.
Be easy to put it in the file with the rest of them. I'm not taking nothing down.
So she couldn't go to the bathroom or nothing? Or
like, hey, they went to the bathroom.
She didn't do it at the table.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she... It's all right.
She sucked his dick at the table?
Bruh, in the middle of the restaurant, dog.
Hell no.
Nah. Like, she's like the,
this was like one? Third shift. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was in the middle of the damn Denny's, man. It was a Denny's.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture.
I would expect questionable behavior to happen in such an establishment as Denny's, because it's not Waffle House, aka the GOAT of breakfast places.
Exactly. They don't have classy like a Waffle House. No class over there at Denny's.
They got no teeth over there at Waffle House.
Hey, whatever. But the food is delicious.
To die for.
Or to die with. But go ahead.
All-star special, sorry. You don't know nothing about that, man.
Hey, man, don't make me drive to Waffle House, please. This motherfucker's like 45 minutes away.
All-star special, sorry. That's all you do when you go in there, man. You just ask for the all-star special. The best thing, best deal for your money, man.
Nah, man.
Anything else, you're wasting your money, man. All-star special, you get hash browns, eggs, grits, waffle, bacon or sausage, you know what I'm saying?
Let's focus. He's in the restaurant. She can't give a tip. She decides at the table, yo, I'll suck your dick since I don't have the money. As the employee, are you doing this shit? This is not your right job.
Not right there in the middle of the floor.
Absolutely not. But like at work. Or would you say, yo, meet me somewhere?
Yeah, she a nasty bitch. I've been working all night, man. My nut sweaty as fuck. You just throw me in my mouth like that? Okay.
So you risk losing your job to get some head from a stranger bitch?
I'm not, look, look, look. I'm not going to... One, you're not gonna record it. You know, it's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna get caught.
So, in other words, you're not doing this at work on work premises.
I do it on work premises. I'm just not gonna, you know what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever had sex at your job? It's all right. Tell the truth.
No, it's easy for me. No.
It's easy for me.
No.
I'm talking about you actually had to leave the house and go to work.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, I've never had sex at my job.
GQ Blue?
Nope.
Okay. You got to remember, songwrites are lame, so that's why I haven't done it. I worked at call centers, and apparently that's the hookup spot. And I've never had sex in my job.
Hey, when I worked at the call center, I actually got something at work, bro.
Never happened to me. Now, I did. When I worked for Renison, I do know my partner was fucking on break with the rental truck. But damn. Never happened to me.
I just want to know, why does she feel so compelled to do that if she paid it? It's another thing, she didn't have enough money for the actual meal, but she didn't have enough money for the tip. Why did she just feel like she had to give a tip?
Maybe she just, you know, she believed in tip and she had to give her 20%.
Like, it's too many. Where was this at?
Nobody.
Does it say where it was?
Florida, man. I don't believe it. They always trying to throw shit off on Florida. The woman that got shot by her baby in the back seat, man. You seen that shit? The 4-year-old kid shot his mama. She was driving, and she had a gun in the back seat, and little man shot the gun, boom, shot in the back while she was driving.
Did he kill her?
Nah, she ain't dead, man. But
goddamn,
you know,
Darwin, man. So this dude ended up getting, he got fired.
Yep, Denny seen the shit, fired his ass, man.
So, you know, lost your job. Like, isn't there enough, aren't you concerned enough about these stranger bitches to be out here just getting your dick sucked by some random broad?
Yeah. And then that's another drawback, you know, you never know, man. You can get herpes from getting your dick sucked, can't you?
You get a lot of shit, especially from a stranger bitch. I don't trust anybody who's willing to do that shit and they're not tied to you.
I seen contracted and she got the damn, she turned to a zombie from a sexual transmission. She had the Zika. You know it's part two out now, man.
Nah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's about time for that, right? We got spring break coming up and summer vacation. Right. Yeah, so.
Exactly. But the Zika Baylor, spring break going on, all the college kids, they're going to be bringing back a whole lot of diseases, man.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, if we were single, like, Jeremy, if you were single, Sawright was single, how would we move in this world where people got Zika virus and they sucking dicks at Denny's? Like, I don't understand how you're single nowadays. I don't get it. How does that shit work?
It must be the greatest time ever to be single, man, because it's just like the women revolution going on, girls just walking down the street like, yo, let me suck your dick. You know what I'm saying? Niggas getting their dick sucked and then, like, it's a revolution going on. It might be the best time to be single right now.
Or is it the worst? Because
it's raining pussy right now. It's raining pussy. Like,
but there's a chick that we know on Snapchat who's a porn star who's complaining about getting dick pics. I don't understand this world. You're a porn star. How are you, man? I don't get it.
Man, listen, man. Nothing ruins a party like a dick pic, bro. Come on, man. It's like, you know, it's a good hashtag going on, like, on Yeti, man, on Tuesday, Titty Tuesdays, man. Girls showing their tits. Then, you know, then you got some nigga got to pull the wiener out, man. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, dudes is, I don't understand. Dudes, stop sending dick pics, bro. I don't understand, bro. No homo. I never get one. But I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure the girls hate it. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, y'all don't understand how much women have to dodge dicks. And you know what I'm saying? And shit is like, they don't want to. Come on, man. I mean, women can get fucked anytime they want. Anytime. Niggas, we can't do that.
Well, I mean, you can. Now, the quality may be different.
I mean, but nah, sometimes they look.
Then you can. The quality, look, well, like, what you're dealing with, and that's the point. Like, what you're dealing with may not be up to par.
Like, free. Like, a woman can call a dude up and get free dick any time of day. 24 hours a day.
Right.
She can call up any nigga in the world and he gonna come drill. A nigga, you can go through your whole motherfucking black book, nigga. You might strike out on Monday night. You know, so you might catch somebody on Tuesday. You know, I'm just saying, you know, these regular niggas, not these super niggas like, you know, Saul, right? You know what I'm saying? Not them niggas. But, you know, like a be easy ass, you know what I'm saying, nigga, like, you know, single nigga.
Hey, I'm just saying, with the world of Instagram and shit, that you can get some. It ain't no telling what the quality is gonna be, or what, you know, you might have to drive through a really bad neighborhood for the shit. Hey, who knows? But you can get it done. I just don't know that I'm trusting the shit in the age of Instagram and Tinder, where you swipe it left and right based on how somebody look, to be single out here and try and get anything that's worth anything. I don't know how this shit works. So I definitely wouldn't be, if I'm at work and a chick's like, yo, I suck your dick, you know, she pulled the whole menace to society line, if I'm gonna be up for that shit. Like, nah, just pay the bill and get the fuck out of here, is what I'm saying. I'm not.
Cheeseburgers, though.
Right. And apparently that was the magic word for that motherfucker. He's like, shit, right here at the job. Yeah, nigga done lost it, man. GQ, do you watch Friday Night Tights or Better Call Saul?
Nah.
Damn. We gotta get you on board, man. You gotta watch Friday Night Tights. This shit's about to be on all year now.
Do you watch The People versus OJ Simpson, sorry?
No, I don't.
Gotta get you on board.
It's amazing.
It is, man. Sorry, you need to watch that shit, bro. Straight up, man. Straight up. Like, no bullshit. You'll love that shit, sorry. And I know you don't want to relive that moment in time because you had a white Bronco and you felt like Al Collins. Easy, like, that changed your whole life. Easy, I understand easy, that, man.
Easy.
It was actually Saul Wright at the crime scene.
Easy, easy. Don't send the people to my door. You know what I mean? They already dug up a knife from 19 decades ago at OJ's. Yes, you never know what they find in my crib. All of a sudden, I got some goddamn shoes up in this bitch. Got some Bruno Mollies. I don't even wear Bruno Mollies. So. They be like, yeah, we know you collect shoes. We found some Bruno Mollies with a blood stain on the bottom at your crib. Fuck that shit. But what did you think about, you know, Friday Night Tights? I know we done missed 2 weeks. We didn't really, you know, you had to do it last year, last week.
Like, so, but, you know, like I said, man, let's just go ahead and let the elephant out of the bag, man. You had a problem with Coach Fred finding getting that play card.
Are we just going to jump right into it, huh?
We'll just jump right into it. Look, that's the only thing to talk about.
Only thing to talk about. All right, so we're in the playoffs now.
Okay, we're in the playoffs.
The Outlaws, who've been on 2 episodes all season, are in the playoffs in Snoop's league. They lost one game. We thought it was in shambles. Apparently, got like a top 2 seed. So they're in the playoffs, and they're playing the team, the Gators, Germ's team. They're playing the Gators, the team that gave them their only loss all season.
Yeah.
So they end up playing, and somehow the ref gives them the Gators play card.
Maybe.
How did that happen?
Okay, what happens is, you know, kids got the little play cards on their little on the QB sleeve or whatever. You know, it might be several players that got the cards, you know what I'm saying, receivers, whatever, because anybody can call in plays, you know what I'm saying, just to call in the plays. See, what I do as a coach, I got my play sheet, I got my plays number, I got my quarterback with his sleeves, and I got the plays on there with the numbers. So from the sideline, all I have to do is say 6, 3, 2, you know, that's how I call my plays out. He looks at the number, he calls the play in the huddle. So that's why them things fall out when they get tackled and all that shit, you know, because it's like little sheets. Someone fall out. So apparently one fell out and the ref, he didn't know whose it was. He gives it to a coach. This has happened to me before. You know what I'm saying? Kid got tackled on the sideline. Shit fell out. I had like 2 of the coach's play cards. And I was just like, yo, I got their play cards. But downside of it, you know what I'm saying, the play they calling, you don't know what the formation is. Like, you know, like, they could be coming out of the spread and be calling something simple. You don't know what it is. Like, you know, so, but go ahead, so, right, having the play sheet is not, I don't see it, like, okay, anyway.
So, my contention was that because he got the play card, and the coaches knew it, and they said, yo, Fred, here's their play card. Listen to what, this is what Mo said. Listen to what they call. This is their play card. The conversation before that was, should we give it back? Hell no.
Yeah.
So now that's the conversation. Then Mo says to Fred, yo, we got their play card. Listen to what they call. So that's the setup. So now we watch it later on. They get into the formation. They heard the call. Coach Fred looks at their playlist and says they going to the right because he heard the fucking play call. That's cheating, bruh.
That's not cheating.
That is cheating if he heard the play and knew what side it was going to and said, defense, go over there. This isn't a guess. This is based on scouting. This is, I know your play, go over there.
This also could be Friday Night Tights editing. That's what I'm saying. That's because the way they edit it, man,
How can you edit that? Because what the words out of his mouth was, they're going to the right.
Okay. He could say that about anything.
But he said it after he looked at their play card.
Okay. But then that's on another coach. You can't just be yelling your plays out loud. Like, fuck that.
Hey, granted, now that's stupid as fuck. If on this play card, like I was telling Jeremy, if on this play card you got 36 dive equals gator bite, okay, for whatever reason, that's your coding. And as the coach, you yell out gator bite, and I got the card, well, nigga, you stupid for the way you set it up. But you still cheating as the coach if you have the play card and you can read it. What do you think about that, GQ? If you know the play, regardless of how fragile their play calling is, if you know the play of the other team because you have intel, not based on scouting, but because you have their cheat sheet, is that not cheating if you use it to stop the play? Because they won this game.
That sounds like a competitive advantage to me.
It's a competitive advantage, exactly.
So
not cheating.
Well, it's competitive advantage just goes pretty high to cheat, especially if you use it and you won.
That's cheating, right? You said it's not cheating.
No.
I think it sounds like cheating.
That's cheating.
So it's all right. Let's say you watching film of a football team, and on this film you can see their dude when they calling plays in. You can see that shit. You can see it on the film. So you playing the same team, you see them do something that you see them do on film. You see them call a play with their hands. You like, oh, I remember that shit. They about that's to do this.
But that's not cheating. That's intel. They're not smart enough to change their plays. But if you have their plays, like there's a reason that people call the same 36 dive 9 million different names. It's the same play. We call it different names because we're concealing the way the play is called. It's the same play. So if I'm changing the name of it, and you know the name I'm changing it to, and you're using that to your advantage to stop the play and or win, that's cheating. Otherwise, we'd just be practicing together and call everything the same. Right run. We'd be doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't think it was cheating. I
think that's cheating, and when the kids see this, that's not you're definitely not helping out the kids. Like, this is the reason why the whole Patriots taping the Rams thing was a problem. Because now we're changing what we're calling, and you're recording what we're calling. That's cheating. That's why it was a scandal. It's not like you watched film from the previous 16 weeks. You watched us preparing for this game illegally, and you used it in the game. That's cheating.
Sounds very Bill Belichickish.
It's cheating. And you won the game. So now they get to play next week. The other team gets a loss. This is on camera. So if you're the coach and your kids see this, what are you saying to the kids? Because this is all, like, for all season, this has been about integrity and sportsmanship. And now you got this situation. What are you telling the kids, Jern? He got us on mute.
Run it by me again? My bad.
I said, so you got this on tape. The kids come back and see this after the season. They say, yo, coach, you had the play call. That's why you was telling us. What do you say to the kids?
I'm going to be like, they going to see me with the play call once I found it off the ground anyway. They going to know. I'm going to be like, man, yeah, they going to know. All us going to be conspirators from the whole time. It ain't going to be, I ain't letting them know I ain't got it. Nah, we all conspirators.
And that's cool for you.
I mean, it's just going to be the way it's gonna be. We want to win. It's in the heat of battle. Now I'll probably tell them in the heat of battle, man. That's just something, you know, that was a competitive advantage we had. We ain't go out and seek that. That was, you know what I'm saying? That was intel. We ain't stealing, fell into our hands. Come on, man.
So the definition of integrity is what you do when other people aren't watching.
Oh,
Fred,
okay.
Fred has no integrity.
Hey, not in the midst of battle. He want to win.
It's a football game that you tell people to shake hands after they get the dog shit kicked out of them.
It's a game I got invested thousands of dollars in also.
And if
you're trying to win the championship,
then why, like, they're not separate?
They are separate.
They're not, like, you still got in this because you're coaching kids. You're not coaching grown men. You're coaching kids, and you're instilling values. That's what this is about, right?
And winning.
So
once you get in the play, look, all that shit is good for the regular season. Once you get in the playoffs, it ain't about valor, integrity. It's about winning the chips. All right.
So
I mean, regular season, all that's sportsmanship. Playoffs is cutthroat, man.
So at that point, if we decide to stop shaking hands at the end of the game, we decide to start dirty tackling because of the playoffs is cool. That's what you're saying.
I mean, they you know they got playoff fouls. You know what I'm saying? You know, those little stuff like that. You the intensity is up. No, you still gonna shake hands after the game. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? It's still more. Come on, man, we're trying to win.
Nah, I can't clap to that at all. If you're supposed to be talking about teaching the kids, and this is definitely a move about integrity, there's no way that you change that just because it's the playoffs. That's not when you're supposed to lose integrity. That's the total opposite of what you're supposed to be teaching these kids.
So what you would have done in this situation, sorry, you wouldn't use that play card at all?
No!
You said, this is not ours.
Look, bro, you're talking to somebody whose best friend played baseball for the other team. Real life story. Baseball for the other team. I know that my best friend has 8 pitches and he's starting. And he was like, yo, I'll groove them to you. I won't throw no junk. And I don't do that. That's not how we play. Now, of course, I got up there and looked like an asshole because he went ahead and listened to me and struck me out. But I wasn't finna take the easy W. That's not how I roll, man.
I mean, that's what's up. Did you tell your team about everybody, about your boys' tendencies and all that?
Hell no!
Why not?
Because that's my boy. That's how we played.
But you going against him. You let everybody know, like, bro, he do this, he do that. When he do this, yeah, come on, man.
Nah, I definitely wasn't doing that, bro. I don't even know them teammates no more. I still talk to my boy. There's no way I was doing that. I'm not a turncoat, bro. I'm not a mole.
That's not being a turncoat. That's hype. That's making better competition.
That's cheap. That's cheap. That's diamond out your boy.
All right, man. GQ Blue, man. He said he got to go, man.
Got to call the White House, man.
Hey, thank GQ Blue for sitting in. Yeah, man. He had to go in. Secret Service said that's enough. Anything after this, they can't erase. So, yeah, thank GQ Blue for coming in.
Especially, it's curious how he has to leave during us talking about cheating. That's all I'm saying. He running for office.
Yeah, he's out here. Look, he's out of here. Like, woo!
He's gone. Was there anything else to talk about on Friday Night Tights?
Nah, man. Oh, yeah, the Hurts.
Said it again?
The Hurts.
The Hurts? Oh, that family's in shambles, bro. Like, so the Storm got into playoffs. Everybody got in the playoffs. They said the Seahawks got in the playoffs too, right?
No.
They said the Seahawks. Now, I don't know if there's more than one Seahawk, but he said the Seahawks.
It wasn't the San Antonio Seahawks.
Okay.
It was another city Seahawk.
That's what I'm saying. It must be another Seahawk, because I know that he even said that it wasn't about getting the playoffs no more. It was just about winning strong or something, finishing strong.
So the team that made the playoffs was the Junior Broncos. The Junior Broncos made the playoffs. The Outlaws. The Storm. Who else?
The other you said did you already say the other Outlaws? The Yoakum Outlaws?
Yeah, those are the Yoakum Outlaws. Yeah, they the anti-fool. It was Yoakum. The Storm. Who else made it? It had to be the Junior Broncos. It
had to be Junior Broncos. And that had to be it from the people that are on the show.
Yeah.
It had to be it because the rest of the teams was losing horribly. Junior Rockets, we ain't seen no more. So I don't know if they're in the playoffs or not.
I don't know what happened.
They just disappeared. Third episode, they gone. So the Storm made the playoffs. They're getting ready for the game. And Mom tells Justice that to beat him, you go after his legs. Remind you, 2 episodes ago, they were mad because somebody was apparently putting a hit out on Justice. So here's the mom telling the son, yo, if you want to win, take out his legs. They get into the game, and of course, father loses his mind. Who's the coach? Who's also Justice's father? He's calling, what is it, Birdie?
Butterfly.
Butterfly, which is basically a quarterback keeper. That's it. So he's calling this play every down, bro. Every down. Even after Justice got a little concussion, it looked like he's calling the same play. So then the mom is on the sidelines, and she says, yo, I'm putting this all on Paul because he's calling stupid plays. Maybe I should coach the team. Like, she's throwing him under the bus like a mug. And they took the L. What did you think about that whole family situation where she's blaming the husband and even saying that she should coach next season?
I mean, isn't that the reason why he got fired from the last team? Because his play calling?
Sounds familiar to me. Kept calling his son.
And then now we see that it was the daddy. You know what I'm saying? It was. But, you know, mom need to cool the fuck out. You can't coach no fucking football team. You know, Justice gone. Who you going to get the ball to? You know what I'm saying? Like, this was his last year. You know what I'm saying? So, then they were Justice to death. Like, I was like, man, he had my Zell number carries in that game. I mean, it was outrageous.
And it was from the quarterback position. Like, this ain't handouts and receptions. He's just keeping the ball and running.
Yeah, she was amazing, man.
And they lost. They took the L. They gave up the lead.
So happy to see them get put out. That was like the happiest I've been in a long time to see somebody, a good kid team lose.
Man, I mean, that, she made me not like Justice. And I feel bad because I tweeted that shit to you. I texted that shit to you. I was like, they make me dislike this kid because they're horrible. You can't do that shit, man. Yeah. They took the L. And then, so they showed the previews of next season, of next week. And it looked like the Yoakum Outlaws somehow didn't play a game for a month.
Yeah, that's what it said.
So I guess since they got a first round bye, I don't know how a month, like, so they play these games every week, right?
I guess, man. I told you the editing sucks, man.
I'm so confused how this shit works. Apparently, because they practice once a week, and then I imagine that they're playing on Saturdays or Fridays. So you got a game every week. Say it again.
Maybe he exaggerated with a month. Maybe it was like 3 weeks. Still, you know.
Yeah, so if that's what happens, so I imagine that you end the regular season, then maybe you get a week off so the playoffs will start. Then the first round of playoffs. So then you'll be playing the following week. So yeah, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. So he might have been exaggerating. But they're playing the team that just beat the Storm. And it looked like they was getting their ass handed to them. Now, I didn't watch the whole preview because, like I said, that waters down the episode. It's like most of the episode. But it's interesting to see if they're going to end up holding up. And if old number 74, who is apparently... Hey, man, we're going to see him in the league.
Yeah, see, I don't watch the previews no more because that's what time the OJ show come on. So
number 74 for the Outlaws is going to be in the league, bro. Like, that's the big tight end dude that was slamming everybody down.
Daddy, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, man. Hey, he can run, too. They were like, that big kid moving like that? And he can run. He hurdling people. I'm just saying, he going to be in the league, bro. Better Call Saul.
Yep.
Another good episode, man. They on the road. Another good episode. The last two. Both of these episodes are on point.
Okay. About to say.
Hey, man. Mike took an ass whooping.
And $25,000 ass whooping that was.
Would you take that?
Hell yeah.
You get beat down like that for 25?
Fuck yeah. I gotta get punched in the eye like 2-3 times. Come on, man.
That was some hard ass punches, though. That whole left side of his face was.
And that little, he was a golden glove, so it was just like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know. he took some. That was some well tuned punches, bro. That was a well too, but his face was fucked up. But like old boy said, he said, you took this the long way around. I guess we'll find out next week why he didn't just snipe old boy. But why wouldn't he just shot him? Because we know Mike can kill people. We've seen it on Breaking Bad.
And what that man told him? What did that man tell him when he bought the gun?
I don't know. What did he tell him?
What did he tell him at the end? When Mike tried to give him the money?
I don't know. He said repeat business.
He said, my business and repeat business. So Mike said, and that made Mike think, like, shit, I get 25 from you now for this. I can get 25 from you now for doing something else. You know what I'm saying? So now we're seeing how Mike got his enterprise going, how he became the hitman. So, you know what I'm saying? The story's about both of them, really. You know?
I didn't even put that together. Good call. Because that is, that's right when he changed his mind. He's like, all right.
Yeah, like, killing is a lot dirtier, a lot messier. You know what I'm saying? I can sit here and do this, and, you know, like I said, he gone for 3 to 5 years. I deal with that down the road. Like, I got 3 to 5 years to think about that.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I like that. Yeah. We kind of all over the place. Having GQ in here kind of threw the outline off a little bit. Do you want to go to your Keep It 100, or do you want to go back to this one other topic we didn't talk about? Because we already, like, an hour and a half in.
We can keep it 100, man. Because we kind of already touched on it, all right. Hold on one second. Let me finish crunching this Chex Mix down. Episode of Frocast 19 brought to you by Chex Mix. They just sent me like 50 boxes of this shit. I got Chex Mix all over my fucking crib.
This is the Chex Mix, the actual cereal, or Chex Mix, the snack?
The snack, man. The snack.
Okay, with the pretzels and shit in it.
Chex Mix is the cereal. Chex is the cereal, right?
I don't know. I thought Chex Mix had a cereal where they got the different multi-flavor, the multi-color, multivitamin shit. The multi-grain.
That's just Chex, the cereal.
All right. Well, what do I know, man? I don't eat that shit. I don't eat that shit, man. I don't know.
Okay, man. It's not, you know, it's unhealthy shit, man. I understand.
I'm still fat.
60% less fat than potato chips, though, so, you know.
I'm still fat, bro. I'm just saying. It's not about health. I just don't eat that. That's all.
Not a fat boy at heart no more. It's all right, man. You're a lean 2% body fat nigga at heart, man. You know what
I'm saying? As long as you say at heart, I can agree with you. As long as you say at heart, I'm good.
Yeah, like I feel like we go somewhere so right now, be like, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and get this 20-inch sub. You're gonna be like, nah, bro, I'm about nah.
I'll be like, let me get the 20-inch sub, but I want all lean meats. Let me get the chicken breast. He gonna have the chicken thigh. Let me get the chicken breast.
Man, I'm gonna keep 100 this week, man. Like we were talking about earlier, man. I just don't get this whole pro slut movement, man. You know what's wrong with ladies being respectful? And you know what I'm saying, oh damn, all that shit, GQ Blue talking about respect and politics, all that bullshit. Hell nah. We know what it matters is how you look in the streets. And you know what I'm saying, I don't understand what's wrong. Why is they want to be okay for them to go out and have sex with tons of niggas? And shit just ain't cool. You know what I'm saying, it ain't cool for a nigga to go out there and have sex with a whole bunch of ladies. Like I ain't with that shit, bro. So you know what I'm saying, whole pro slut movement, man. You know what I'm saying, I ain't with it. Don't try to guise it. It's feminism and all that bullshit, because that ain't feminism. Like, feminism should be, like, empowering. You laying on your back fucking niggas is not empowering. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. You fucking somebody on the street just because you want to is not empowering. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just not. So, stop it with that bullshit, man. I'm out, man. That's all for keeping my honest.
So, you think that in general, people should just be fucking less other people? Guys or girls? That's just how it should be.
I mean, just keep it. I mean, excess of anything is too much.
Okay, so now is it okay for women to be kept from opportunities because someone found a video?
I mean, they can do what they want to, but don't sit there and try to make it seem like that's cool. Just like I wouldn't want no dude who's like, yo, I had sex with 20,000 girls. I'd like, you think that's, why are you bragging about this shit? I'm thinking you're dick crooked as fuck. I'm like, whoa. I'm pretty sure you had 2 STDs along the road. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, it's probably been a rough life for you. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I just, you know. That shit's not cool.
I don't know. There's, I think that's a little above my pay grade to make a decision. Like, I get it. I just don't know enough to talk about the actual issue. Like, the pro slut, pro whatever. Like, that Amber Rose shit, I don't really understand what her point is. I don't really get it. And I haven't done enough research to really comment on it. So, that's all I can say about that shit. We got winners and losers this week, bro. Who's your winner this week?
Oh man, my winner this week is Brock Osweiler.
Why is that, sir?
First of all, Brock Osweiler was just on a championship Super Bowl team, a team which he played 7 games for and went 5-2 as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Then he got benched by some bum ass quarterback that just retired. Mm. I don't know the name. Yeah, but anyway, he was a big time free agent. He just got paid $18 million a year to go play for the Houston Texans, a playoff team, might I add. So who knows what he's going to do. Hopefully he turns it up big and get the Texans what they want, because they added a lot of people to their postseason. See, they added Lamar Miller, added somebody else on defense, so a pretty good defense already. So, yeah, Houston Texans might be a team to look out for next year. My Jaguars going to have to be open up, be ready for that. So, you know, Jaguars tighten up. Who else we?
Wait, you
know,
your Jaguars?
Yeah, man.
That's Jaguars. Your team now, too?
I said, remember I told you, Jaguars and Panthers my team.
What happened to the Eagles and the Falcons?
First off, never a Falcon fan. My money was on the Falcons that year.
Oh, okay. What about the Eagles?
I told you I was going to jump on the bandwagon if the Panthers lost the Super Bowl. And the Eagles have been making some stupid moves in free agency just this whole offseason. Well, we moved up. We got the number 8 pick now. I don't know, man. I might just sit this season out just for fantasy reasons, man. I might just stop, don't have no team in the NFL no more, man.
When did the Jags come into the picture?
Just because, man. You know, I would love to get on the ground floor, and then when they get a championship, I'll be like, you know what? It feels good, man.
You're going to be wearing the throwback Jags jersey and shit?
Yes, man, from 2015. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I say shit.
Because, look, I went to the first game of the season last year, man. The opening game, man. I don't know, man. It was magical, man.
It was wide open, too. It was a lot of empty seats.
It was the Panthers. No, it was the Panthers and the Jaguars. It was full. What are you talking about, man?
The picture I saw, you must have been an early picture.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I go to the games early with my kids so they can get autographs and stuff like that, man. Have the little experience, man. That's what we do, man.
Gotcha. So then, who's your loser this week?
Oh, my loser was Maria Sharapova.
Why is that?
So, come to find out, Maria Sharapova failed a drug test. Some drug she was taking, I don't know the name of it, but it helps you out with healing and muscles or something like that. She said she was taking it for some condition, and then, you know, comes out, the doctor said she only had to take it for like 6 weeks. She'd been taking it for like 10 years. So, you know what I'm saying? So now, yeah. So now, you know what I'm saying? I want to see if they're going to throw her under the bus, what they're going to do with her, man. So she's my loser for getting caught. You know what I'm saying? You never get caught. That's the whole rule. Like, you've been doing it for 10 years, but they just banned the substance, like, this year or some shit. She said she didn't know it was banned, but, you know, of course she did. You know what I'm saying? You get paid too much money not to know. You know what I'm saying?
Or so, your handlers know. Somebody knows.
Pill you've been taking for 10 years. Oh, hey, Maria, you got to stop taking that pill. Why? It's on the list now.
I'd imagine that even if she stopped taking it the year before, if you've been taking it for 10 years, I think it's still going to be in your system.
Yeah.
Like, you've been taking it that long. So she was taking it for chest pains.
Okay.
Which to me sounds like that it increases the oxygen in your blood or something like that.
Yeah, tennis is very heavy on the fucking endurances.
Yeah, so if you got more oxygen in your blood, it means that, you know, theoretically you should be able to work longer and harder. So the problem is that, didn't she beat Serena? Like, once?
Maybe. I mean, probably. That was probably the only time. Now, she won a couple of Grand Slams. She won like 3 or 4.
And so now, when Serena was winning, they were talking about she must be taking steroids because she's so big.
Yeah.
But she hasn't failed a drug test. She's just whooping people's ass. So this is interesting. So Sharapova going down and your boy Lance Armstrong going down. I'm just saying. Your fucking heroes is taking it. My winners this week, one of them is also a loser. I have to explain that. So my first winner is going to be Janoris Jenkins. Look, man. Hey, man, look. He said that I'm going to go to a team that's going to pay me for the respect I deserve. Look, dude, like, you had 6 touchdowns defensively. You had like 4 picks in your best season. A little overrated. But he was good for our team. But we wasn't going to pay you $12 million a season, bro. Mm. So you're definitely a winner for going to the Giants and getting that ticket. $12 million a season for 3 years? Way overpaid.
He fucked up. He could have moved to L.A., but he decided to move to New York. Oh,
hey, man. But for $12 million guaranteed? Like, that's $12 million guaranteed each season.
What? No.
$12 million guaranteed each season.
Man, how is that possible?
It's only like 18 or something million or something stupid per season, but 12 of that is guaranteed.
Jesus Christ.
And of course, if I'm saying it, you know, look it up.
I was about to say, that sounds ridiculous in the NFL. But ain't no back. Dude, quarterback.
That's because they were getting on the Giants because they have like 3 of the 5 defensive players they signed, like $38 million is guaranteed for the first season. Like, the contracts are ridiculous, so they're giving these cats some serious change.
Second highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and so the other winner / loser is Sam Bradford. Somehow this motherfucker Sam Bradford got the Eagles to pay him. I think the contract is $36 million. Or $32 million, and 26 of that is guaranteed. So Sam Bradford, in his non-playoff winning, non-playoff appearance having, non-500 win season, none of that shit, right? He doesn't even have an 8-win season under his belt. Has made over $86 million in his career, guaranteed cash. We're not talking about incentives and extra money. His guaranteed money is $86 million. This dude was in the bottom 3 of QBR last season. He's in like the bottom 3 of his entire career since he came in. And this cat still made that kind of money. So you won, but you lost. Because you're a thief. You robbed two teams. And you know what? This ain't even on my list. But I was thinking about this the other day. I want to know what you think. I think that the trade that people say that the Rams won, the RG3 trade, they got us Quinn and the rest of the motherfuckers, Janoris Jenkins, and I forgot who else we got in that trade. We got like 2 number ones and 2 number twos or something stupid. 3 number ones and 2 number twos. That trade may have cost St. Louis their team.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, when RG3 went to the Redskins for that trade, they had a playoff season, which is money and exposure and all that kind of shit. The Rams haven't even finished 500 since 2008. So, if we would have just had that one playoff season, I think that the Rams would still be in St. Louis.
Mm.
So, in my opinion, that trade, because we haven't gained anything from it, we gained players, but we haven't produced anything, cost us our team. What do you think about that? Am I crazy?
Nah, man. Sound like a Rams fan. I can see what you're saying.
But logically, does that make sense? Do you think that one season would have kept? Because one season, one winning season, one playoff season is enough to put asses in the seats and make change in the stadium.
Yep. Like, niggas got hope, man. You know, unless you're in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, like, yeah. Like, any other team, like, win season and put asses in the season. Keep your people there want to play towards something. If they know they a year away or something like that, you know, they'll stay. Instead of like, man, fuck this, I'm out of here. But yeah, they say Janoris Jenkins negotiated a deal that has $29 million fully guaranteed at signing, and they will pay him $40 million over the first three. God damn.
$29 million fully guaranteed. What did I say, 12 per?
Yeah.
So I was right at it. That's 26, 36?
Yeah.
God damn. And he did that. What, was I right about his best season? Four picks and six touchdowns or something stupid?
He had the most touchdowns last year, something like that, wasn't
it? Yeah, he had most defensive touchdowns, like six. But his, I think it's, and it was only four picks, something like that. Either way, it's not worth that kind of money. Because you get a player who's playing like that, that means that he gets beat pretty deep every, you know, every once in a while. He gets Sherman'd. Because Sherman gets beat over the top, too.
See, he got 64 tackles, 3 interceptions. Career stats, he got 256 tackles, 15 assists, 1 sack, 10 picks.
10 picks, what is that, 4 years? In 4 years?
Yeah.
That's not $28 million guaranteed. it's not what you get that kind of money for, bruh.
Somebody robbed the bank.
I'm just saying. It's not what you do, man. Hey, props to him. You know what I'm saying? You went to a team that needed you. You played them. You got what you had to get. Yeah, I'm not mad at you.
That's why you got winner this week, son.
That's why you the winner this week, bro. I can't even be mad at you. But $12 million was a little bit out of Rams' price grade, man. I can't even be mad at y'all for that shit. Let's give our shots, man. This show has been long as fuck. Let's give our shots so we can get the fuck out of here, bro.
Man, shout out to the nation, man. Shout out to my dog, Chris, man, who sat here while I did this whole fucking broadcast and they go get knocked out. But you know what I'm saying? Man, shout out to Goddamn Be Easy, Blue, Staff, RT3, Ruler Myself, everybody else listen to this motherfucking shit, man. Shout out to everybody, man.
Hey, man, that's what we do, man. It's another episode 199. We haven't figured out if we're doing something special for episode 200 or not. So if we do something special, we might need a week off to get it together for you. Bear with us, you know what I'm saying? But if not, we'll be back on the same raggedy show at the same raggedy time next week. This is what we do, man. This is nappyafro.com. This is the Frocast. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. the Black Alex P. Keaton, sitting with King Germ, the most electrifying motherfucking podcaster today, yesterday, and forever. We will holler at y'all next time on the Frocast. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, yeah, what's up? This is PTZ, a.k.a. The Thriller Man, tuning in to Nappy Afro to get the hottest and honest reviews. So if you're at work or at home, you can't go wrong. Hit up Nappy Afro. Deuces.
NappyAfro.com.